Okay, and I'm going to turn off chimes. Perfect. And I just want to check in and make sure y'all can hear me okay.
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Me too.
Okay, fantastic. So I want to welcome you to Meditations on the Divine Feminine. My name is Crystalyn Bell, and I'm really excited about tonight's talk. And the reason I'm excited is because I feel like this principle that we're going to discuss tonight is kind of the ultimate feminine principle. And you're welcome to challenge me on that. I'm not wedded to this idea of being the ultimate principle, but I have to say it's really, really feminine in its way, in its nature. And as women, if, you know, we're here, the archetype of the divine feminine really embodies this principle. And the principle is called allowance. So tonight's topic is called The Divine Feminine, Embodying the Principle of Allowance. So I was, this topic rang very true for me over the last year and a half since I've gone through all these personal changes in my life, selling my business, the transition of my mom, leaving my home, all these things have had me really understanding the polarities that are present within me. And there's the masculine aspect of myself that had to come in when it was time, you know, when I decided to sell my business. I had to behave in a very masculine way and make plans and, you know, do a lot of things to get the business sold. At the same time, you know, my mom was transitioning, going through the cancer treatments and then transitioning to her light body. And there was a lot of masculine stuff I had to take on, you know, making plans, you know, just being very active in what I had to do for her. And as I moved, left my home, you know, being very active with getting things packed in my home and then leaving the country and, you know, organizing things, just a bunch of, you know, very, very straightforward thinking that I had to do personally. So I got to contrast that kind of active way of being with the law of allowance, which is a very feminine way of being. It's not a passive way of being. It's a feminine way of being. And with the law of allowance, as I got ready to sell my business, there was a level of surrender that I had to engage and hold space for allowing my business to be sold in the way that it needed to be sold according to the universe and what I was co-creating with it. When my mom was transitioning, there was a tremendous amount of allowing that I had to do in order to get her from her cancer treatments into the emergency room, into the hospital, and finally into hospice, and then finally into her light body. And there was that allowing aspect there. And then for myself, in the moving, allowing apartments and places, homes to be made available to me, allowing the funds to be available, allowing things to come together so that I could actually move and, you know, do it with my little kitty so that we could be comfortable. So there were lots of opportunities for me to really work with and personally embody this very important feminine principle of allowance. And I just want to check in with you right now and see if there are any questions or any comments about anything that I've said so far.
No, not yet.
All right.
Well, for
what
me,
about you,
you know, I feel like I struggle with self-worth issues because I always feel like, you know, anytime someone does something for me, I always have this nagging urge to just make sure that I do something for them in return. It's like almost like sometimes it's really hard for me to accept just people doing stuff for me or like doing nice things for me, things just because they want to, just because they love me. And I have a problem receiving it, and it might be because I don't feel like I'm giving enough back, or maybe it's because I used to do that for people and not really get, I felt things were unfair, like I wasn't reciprocated or,
yeah.
But then I know that's an illusion too, because it's like, you know, that person is not my source.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. No, it's a very good point. And it was something that that came up for me today, and well, actually that has come up for me very significantly within the last few weeks. And particularly in dealing with an intimate relationship and being held as the divine feminine and making sure that I was giving enough to my divine masculine partner and wanting to, number one, you know, it's just a natural compulsion, whether, Christina, as you said, you know, it's stuff from the past, or maybe it's, you know, a moral code that we have that's really significant and playing its role. Or maybe it's just feelings of worth, as you said. You know, maybe I'm not worthy just to receive, or maybe that just feels weird to me. But there's also the universal principle of kind of give and take, giving and receiving, and wanting things to be in balance and wanting things to be in harmony. So I think that what you're describing is a very natural reaction that a lot of us experience. And this is one reason why the law of allowance, people find to be the most challenging law or principle that is in effect. So one of the things that we're going to talk about a little bit more tonight is how to receive and not worry about the giving. And I'm going to try to not jump ahead, although I am going to jump ahead because we're talking about it. I'll just go with the flow. But as you hold the space for the principle of allowance, actually, let me ask you, what does it mean, ladies, the principle of allowance? What do you think it means?
Shall I go?
Yes,
I'm waiting for Beth.
Whoever wants to talk, please just jump in.
I would say just to be comfortable and open to just being with accepting and acceptance.
Yeah, sure. That's a wonderful description of the principle of allowance. Christina, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think I agree with her. I think it's all of that, but I think also it's you know, to allow. To me, sometimes it's not always so passive or so easy. Sometimes it's an act of faith. Sometimes it's an act of courage to allow something to happen. Like, you know, to allow your dream to happen, you would need to take action to kind of call it forth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, with me, I want to be a recording artist. I can't just allow I can't just sit there and allow myself to be a singer. Like, I also have to be brave and go out there on stage and allow myself to become that. I can't just, like, sit here and allow, like, my relationship with my boyfriend to be nurtured so that my love will grow. Like, if I want to allow my love to grow, then I have to act in a way and communicate in a way that will have that happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're saying is that there are some actions that you need to take. You cannot be simply passive and allow. And that's really important. So both of you all have brought up some really beautiful points. Betty expressed that it's being comfortable, and I'm assuming, Betty, that when you say comfortable, that you're talking about having trust in certain aspects of life, right?
Yeah.
And in order to have this trust and to be comfortable, this implies that there is an awareness of your connection to all things, whether it's your connection to Source, if that's how you call it, or God, or if you are less religious, maybe you're more comfortable in your environment. You trust your environment. So you feel supported knowing that the system works. Right? So this idea of trust can take on many different things. Now, Betty, you also said that you're open. And would you mind just telling me a little bit more about what you mean when you say open?
Gosh, the word allow keeps coming, but I'm trying to use different words. But instead of trying to make things happen, how do I say it? For instance, this experience I had just came to mind. But, you know, typically I've been a long-distance runner for years, and I'm just fairly recently I went on a run, and something clicked on me with me, then said, you know, instead of making it like I want to make it to that tree or that pole for that, instead of trying to make it to something, something just clicked to me and said, I'm going to go as far as spirit allows.
Yeah.
And there was just like this relaxation that came over me, and I know I ran and was able to go further because it wasn't forcing. It was like a peacefulness that came over me.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful demonstration. It sounds to me like the term open means that you're open to the possibilities and open to whatever happens. Open to, you know, there are no limitations on how something has to look, right? And this is one of the key components of the principle of allowance. You've got to allow it to come out and be the way that it's going to be. You know, whatever the conclusion is, not having such an investment in the way something looks or feels opens you up to many more possibilities from the universe and possibilities that you couldn't have imagined with your lower mind. So that's definitely really important in this principle. And you also talked about acceptance, and I think that probably is very similar, you know, following the similar line. You accept what has come your way and you work with it with grace. Yes? Okay. So, Christina, you were saying that you mentioned something. You said two things that I found were really beautiful. You said that that this principle is about like an act of faith and an act of courage. Is that correct?
Yeah, like for me, the times that I received a lot or I received more than I expected, expected, or, you know, I was expecting to have to give something in order to receive something, and I just received it. Usually that happened when I just, you know, I fought the fear that I had in asking for it, and I fought the fear that I had in receiving it, and I just, you know, bit the bullet and asked for it anyway. I called it forth anyway. I just shared, and I was honest in what I needed, and where I was at and how I was feeling. And then that's when those times that I do that are the times that I receive so much, is when I actually, you know, use my words, use and actually do something, like an action, to demonstrate that I do want to overcome this fear. Not just like, you know, I'm going to meditate it away, but I'm actually going to go and ask for what I want that I'm so scared of not getting.
Sure.
You know?
Sure, sure. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. The law of attraction, you know, and the law of allowance, I'm so fascinated by this light that's been shed on these dynamics that are at play, you know, around us. And very often principles like the law of attraction is looked at as something that we have to go outside and attract to us, or you know, we have to do a certain thing in order to make something come to us. And the law of allowance, when combined with the law of attraction, are very powerful. But the thing that we have to really understand is that both of these principles are based on not anything that comes outside of us, but rather everything that's going on inside of us. So the law of attraction is not about having positive thoughts necessarily, as much as it is having a connection between your feelings inside and your thought processes. So what you attract is actually not just about what you think, it's about what you feel, how you feel about things combined with what you think. So if you think, oh yeah, I want $1 million, I want $1 million, I want $1 million, that's not going to make you manifest the $1 million. However, if you have the belief that you have $1 million, and you have the feeling to back up that belief system, that is where your inner radiance is aligning with your lower mind, and those two forces are creating a magnetic force that's so strong, you can't help but attract the $1 million. And the thing that is most significant, which we won't go into here, but we'll talk about it on another day, but you're not actually attracting the $1 million. The $1 million is already here. You're just opening your awareness to the $1 million that's sitting there right in front of you. So the law of allowance, because we're so caught up in keeping, you know, seeing things a certain way. $1 million is only going to come to me if I win the lottery, or if I have one of those rich aunts die that I didn't know I had, because I don't know any of them, anybody with $1 million, so I must not know the person, or I have to work for probably about 25 years and then I'll have $1 million. Those are the three options that I have in order to get $1 million. I won't mention the one about me getting hit by a Mack truck, because that's negative and I don't want to call that in my life, right? So a lot of people think in terms of this, and they limit themselves to four different options. And if things don't come to us in one of these four different ways, we really don't recognize it. And we can think about different times where we've seen ourselves walk by something that was absolutely beautiful, that would have satisfied us, but because it wasn't presented to us in a way that we could see it, then we miss it. I love going shopping with a girlfriend, and I'll be looking at a clothing rack, boom, 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 and a girlfriend will come by and look at the same clothing rack, and she'll pull off a dress, and she'll be like, this is a beautiful dress. And then I'll look over, and I'm like, gosh, darn it, that is a beautiful dress. You know, it wasn't in my vision. I couldn't see it, but she pointed out to me, and then I could see it. Well, this is how we look at things all the time, you know, around us. We don't see what's there. So when we use the law of allowance or the principle of allowance, what we're doing is we're saying, let's open up. Just like Betty said, let's open up our awareness. Let's, number one, trust that this $1 million is going to come. Now, in order to trust that the $1 million is going to come, you have to have a belief system that says you're worthy of $1 million, that it can come to you, that, you know, and it helps if you have some kind of a need or like if you have something that you want to do with that $1 million, because then you're fueling that desire with intention. That's going to help you also open up your awareness to the $1 million so you can, you know, see it manifest in front of you. So the law of allowance is going to help you be comfortable because you trust, because you're in alignment. It's going to help you be open, and it's going to help you accept the way that the $1 million comes, right? Your contribution is to hold space in the way that Christina said, with faith and with courage. So your key is not to look outward for outward manifestations and to look outward for solutions, but rather to focus on the inner world. And this is where the divine feminine really comes in. We've all heard it said that masculinity is, it's active, it's out in the world, it's extension, whereas the feminine principle is more about being internal, considered more private, or more quiet, more allowing, right? So the passivity that people associate with the word allowance is actually correct. Because just because you're doing something doesn't mean that you're taking a passive role. You're doing what Christina, I think I heard you say, is you're being in a state of an active allowance. And your activity is not doing things to busy yourself in the outside world, but your activity is to focus inward and hold the space of the high vibration that keeps you in alignment with whatever it is you desire, whatever it is that you're allowing to come in and be seen in your material world. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I just gave y'all a whole bunch of, like, I just talked for so long and I didn't even take a break. I have to breathe. Right? So are there any questions or any comments that you all want to share?
So no, all good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So
it's like, I don't know, there's so much in me that I can't really put into words, but it just resonated with me when you said, you know, the activity that you do,
yes.
It's like something that came up for me is like, okay, well, how would I act? What would I do if I had the $1 million? I'm so, like, all the things that I'm doing now, like this thing I'm doing because I have money on my mind. And if I had $1 million, would I be doing this? Like, no. Does this make me happy? No. So why am I doing it now? Just because I want, like, what, $1,000 or $2,000 for what have you. So I need to go inward and do what makes me happy. And even like, some of the things that I want to do that I would need, you know, such and such funds for, or it would be really nice if I had the $1 million so I could do that, you know, what's stopping me from getting started on it and doing what I can with what I have now and acting
Absolutely.
As it and just getting the process going. And it's kind of like, if I know my boyfriend's coming over and I told him and I need to be ready, like I want to have dinner, right? Like, am I going to wait until he is here to cook dinner, or am I going to like get it done now because I know he's coming? I know he's coming. So if that is instead of my boyfriend, it's $1 million, I know $1 million is coming. So what do I need to do to prepare? You know?
Yes.
Or
yes.
My dream, or it can be something else.
Well, yes, but it's interesting because as long as your choices for your actions to take are coming from the internal processes rather than from the external processes, then that's going to help you determine whether you prepare or not. So let's say that your honey is on his way over, and you say, oh, I'm going to go in there and prepare because that's what you do. That's a logical thing to do. Mm-hmm. Everybody in their right minds, when they know they're having company, they do something to prepare, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, say that you go to start preparing and you just feel this nagging sensation that you just want to sit still,
mm-hmm.
right? You honor that and mm-hmm. you sit still and you listen. Or if you're not quite that in tune, you observe yourself and see what you do. Well, I don't know. I don't feel like going in to cook right now. I don't feel like preparing. Why do I feel so distracted? Why do I feel like I'm going to just sit here. Now I'm going to go over here. I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm going to turn on some music. I'm going to light some candles. That feels good to me. That feels mm-hmm. good to me. And then your honey walks in the door. He surprises you with delicious takeout food that he got from this Thai place that he wanted to blah, blah, blah. Surprise, right? So here you are. You're in alignment. You're co-creating with your intimate partner. You're co-creating with the divine masculine. If you think that all of your communication is purely verbal, then you would say, what a coincidence. I didn't cook, and here you are, you brought the food. However, if you are more of a spiritualist, you'll say, okay, we co-created this together. I honored those feelings in me that didn't quite feel like I should go in there and start preparing this elaborate meal. And lo and behold, he's brought dinner. That's co-creation. We are connected through the heart, and that's our real communication. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just, how do I differentiate? Because I always have that urge to do something. I always, and it might be the self-worth thing, you know. I always, want to make sure, you know, that I do something or... You know, like,
well,
say, for example, Valentine's Day, like, you know, I have this elaborate thing planned, and he already has something planned, and I really don't have to do it. I don't have to do anything because he has everything planned, but I just have this urge to just want to do something for, I don't know, because I want to contribute or because I don't want to feel like I'm taking advantage or this and that. All these judgments come up, and...
Yeah, the thing is, Christina, we've got to go to our quiet place most of the time, all right? We
mm-hmm.
spend a lot of time not in our quiet place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we're lucky, we'll meditate for a few minutes in the morning, we'll meditate for a few minutes at night, but really that life should be that meditative state all the time where everything we do is in meditation. It's quiet, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you're aware of yourself, which is the first step to making changes. And I'm going to suggest that maybe you check in with yourself a few times a day and start developing the habit of getting quiet several times a day, not just in the morning and the night. Mm-hmm. Whenever I see a master number on a clock, I stop. So whenever I see a repetitive number, Betty, 444, right? Whenever that shows up for me, I'm going to just take a pause. Whenever I get an 11 or 22 or 33, I'm stopping. And it's just something that I started as kind of a game with myself a year and a half ago, and it's been something that just works for me. Now, every time I see a master number, there is a separation from my ego-centered self, and there is, my attention is turned toward my spiritual self. And sometimes I stop everything and I connect. Other times I say, look, I don't have the discipline to stop right now. I know that I'm here. I know that I'm here. I'm going to keep going, but this is not, and what I desire is more connection to my spirit. So I just have a little dialogue with myself that says, you know what, not right now, but I get it, right? So I'm still connecting, and I'm still not giving my ego a chance to fully run over that moment. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So by doing this, this allows me to have connection, to have to accept myself, but also to be in communion with Source, with my higher self, and to be grounded in the earth, in Gaia. Right? So I do suggest, Christina, that you start doing something like this, you know? And I think it's also a great idea to have conversations with God out loud during the day, because sometimes our kind of obsessive doing can be really alleviated with obsessive prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to really encourage you to do prayer obsessively, that because that implies sickness. But you can pray incessantly, you know, where there's a constant prayer on your lips. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Or whatever your prayer is. And it can be mantra, you know. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. It can be this, whatever it is, and you can allow yourself to stop doing for a moment, you know, the busy work, and allow yourself to do a mantra. And that'll shift your vibration. It'll align your, you know, your brain waves. It'll get them to slow down a little bit and get you into a more calm state. It'll help your heartbeat and your brain kind of get into alignment. You know, so you're doing something but at least it's something that's a little more provocative for your spirit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So just something to think about as you take on this idea. So I want to just give you a little bit more of a definition of the principle of allowance. It's not really a definition, though. I want to give you some bullet points, really. The law of allowance is being free from judgment, right? So you do a lot of surrendering in the law of allowance. So by surrendering judgment of situations, of people, of things, you allow people, places, and things to have a new meaning. So when you judge something, the only way you can truly judge something is if you're coming from past experience and then projecting that onto the thing that's before you. By doing that, you're limiting the possibilities of that thing or that person. The law of allowance means that you suspend your judgment and you allow that person to come to you as they are, and you allow them to be who they are. You allow the situation to be what it is, and you work from your inner radiance, and you read them or you interact with them from that place. Does that make sense, ladies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So by doing that, you're freeing yourself up to have a more rich experience of the person. And Betty, this is something that we've been really studying in A Course in Miracles. Our lessons have been really very much about having, you know, taking away the whole concept of judgment and seeing the world through new eyes so that we understand that we don't know what we're looking at. We only have our experience to tell us what we're looking at. If we suspend that past experience, we get to experience what is before us in beautiful, with beautiful new eyes, and see it in a new light, which is uplifting, it's exciting, and it's very powerful. The law of allowance means that we allow things to be as they are. We allow knowledge to flow in and to flow out of us. We allow knowledge to wash over us. So again, we meet somebody or we see someone that we have known all of our lives, and we see them in a new light. And this actually reminds me of, I remember seeing a friend of mine on the street with his new girlfriend, and I didn't recognize him, you know. His new girlfriend brought out so much light in this man that the smile was a different smile than I had ever seen on my friend's face. And I didn't recognize him, and then I saw that, and I thought, wow, this is what she did for him. But then I realized, and as I think about this now, I also was very graced by them because I got to see him in a new light, which was really precious, to be able to see someone with new eyes. Because it gives you a new way of charging your human love, you know, your lower mind love for them, which is really kind of a real gift. It's a real blessing. So this concept of letting knowledge flow in and out and letting knowledge wash over you implies that there is a detachment of the lower mind engaging when you see something. This is a totally different way of being. The traditional archetypes of the masculine are that the man is in his head and the woman is in her heart, right? So what we've done in our society over these last thousands of years with the patriarchal society and women rising to coming to a new understanding of themselves in a patriarchal society, women have started using their brains more and being less heart-oriented. So we're thinkers right up there with the guys, and some of us women have become better thinkers than the guys. I mean, we will think something to death, and a guy will be like, okay, look, I'm overthinking that right now. I'm not thinking about that anymore. And the chick is like, I'm still thinking about it, right? So what we want to do is understand that lower mind engagement is actually a separation from everything around us. The lower mind it separates you from me and me from this telephone and, you know, me from that candle over there. That is a candle, and that is a computer. It labels things, and it puts things into categories. This is a purple candle. These are black scissors meant for cutting paper, right? So what happens when we go into the law of allowance and we go into that feminine space, and we allow knowledge to wash over us and to flow in and out of us, is we don't try to engage every single thing with our mind. We learn how to, or we remember how to, be connected with things through our heart space without having to figure them out. So I experience the candle and its purpleness or whatever it is just in the space of being with it and allowing things to come without me grabbing them and forcing them into a box. Like, I might see the candle, and I don't even know that I'm calling it a candle. I'm simply with its beauty, with its beautiful shape, with its beautiful coloring, and with the beautiful light it's coming off, giving off. I'm not saying, oh, that's a beautiful candle. I'm just being with it, right? That concept of letting knowledge wash over you is very feminine. You're moving in harmony with things. It becomes poetry. Things stop being articulated in a linear fashion, and they start becoming more circular, more round, more abstract, more diverse. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So you're not cutting yourself into pieces. Like somebody, I had a friend that he's a photographer, and he did a photo shoot for me. And every time I do a photo shoot, he makes me witness myself as a piece of art, as a creation, you know. Mm-hmm. And I always tell him, you know, I wish I could see myself in this light all the time. And he said, well, most people cut themselves into pieces all the time. Like, mm-hmm. you know, instead of appreciating the beauty of the wholeness that they are, it's like, you know, I wish my butt was like this much bigger, or I wish like this was skinnier, or I wish I didn't have this scar, and you know, all these different things. You're cutting up pieces of yourself because, you know, you wish you were something else, or you're comparing it, or you don't think it's beautiful.
Yeah, man, that's a beautiful, beautiful analogy. That's exactly what we're doing. You know, everything gets compartmentalized. These little pieces. You know, and it's so hard to put it all together when you're accustomed to doing that and have done it all of your life. That's what mm-hmm. we were taught to do. We came into the world being connected to everything. Babies are born, no separation, everything is all feeling, it's all stuff. We don't have use of our eyes, you know, we don't have a voice, we don't have, our brains haven't developed and taken over where we're able to categorize things and say, I am hungry. All we know is the feeling, and so we act from the feeling of hunger with a moan, with a cry, with a wail. You know, it's just very interesting how this all comes together and how we've really torn things apart through our brain. So as we consider more the law of allowance, there's this aspect of surrendering things that has to happen if we really want to embody this very important principle. And there are a few things we have to surrender. Number one, we have to surrender separation. It's very difficult to say, I trust, therefore I allow, when you feel separated or isolated, or you feel like the only thing that you can rely on is yourself. So in order to really embody the law of allowance, you've got to surrender your functioning of your lower mind, but you've got to surrender your separation as well. And it's the lower mind that keeps you separated, and it's the lower mind that generates fear and anxiety, so you've got to surrender your fear also. And you also have to surrender your attachment to things and your attachment to the outcome and your attachment to kind of, I want to say, separating from the process, right? So this whole idea of being in the process of things, being in the present moment, means that you're in the process of getting from point A to point B. But the law of allowance won't really, there's not really a lot of space for focusing on the getting to point A to point B. It just happens. The process is already built into. It's an inherent part of the law of allowance. So by being present, by reinforcing, you know, what Eckhart Tolle talks about in The Power of Now, is being right here, right now, without judgment, with the mind turned off, and just allowing things to be where they are and as they are. It's a very good practice for us. Are there any questions, or do y'all have any comments so far? All right. Well, it's actually about time for us to start wrapping things up. So I want to, it's such a short time, but I think we covered a lot of ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have two more little sections I want to, two more things, kind of like a little summary, but I want to make sure that y'all don't have anything before we go into that. So is there anything you might want to say or share?
I do, if Beth doesn't have anything. Was just wondering, because it's Valentine's Day, and I listened to the first recording about how Venus is waking up,
mm-hmm.
and I just was wondering, if there's anything else while she's waking up, because I read what is affected and what you might feel when she's in retrograde. And believe me, I felt all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's waking up, now the retrograde is over and there's still some things coming up, some feelings coming up. And I was wondering what your thoughts are about that, until she fully wakes up, what are some of the things to expect so that I'm not freaking out?
Well, I probably at this point, I wouldn't suggest that you expect anything. I would, especially if you've listened to that first recording,
mm-hmm.
I would strongly suggest that you don't do a lot of expecting, but rather you do a lot of observing.
Mm-hmm.
Retrograde is a time of learning and gathering knowledge. And when planets are coming kind of through that shadow phase where they're getting balanced and coming back into direct alignment, it's really, I would push some boundaries, right? Because it's a time of learning, and I would do it very gently, but I would push some boundaries with myself. I would go out on a limb with my vulnerability, as long as I felt safe, with my intimate partner. And I would definitely, I would challenge where I feel maybe not quite as affectionate. I would maybe, I would work with that energy, because it might still be some shadow energy in there that I could learn from. I would definitely engage my shadow on all levels during this time. There's still a lot of healing that can go on. Let's see, there was the affection, there's the beauty, looking at myself through new eyes, mm-hmm. Really enjoying where I am, and going in that mirror and developing a relationship with myself in my most raw form, without makeup, stomach hanging out, all that stuff, nothing hidden. I would enjoy that process and, learn to love me in my most raw way. So I would do all that kind of thing. Christina, is that helpful to you?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Very helpful.
And, any place, there was a lot of people were feeling rejection from their partners during that retrograde period. You can also kind of take that on and very gently, learn to love yourself with the rejection, but also rejection. It's not really rejection. It's perceived rejection, eh? It's not really rejection. But love yourself under those circumstances. Love your partner under those circumstances. The beauty is that we know that these dynamics are operating on us. So, you know, it's not like we're just ignorant and we're kind of like, okay, I don't know why he doesn't like me anymore. Maybe he's having an affair. You know, we don't know. This is a natural cleansing, purging process for us both. So, you know, this knowledge is beautiful for us to use right now. And lastly, I would definitely suggest that you use the law of allowance, sit quietly, and just allow things, you know, set the intention for you to have whatever you want while Venus is in her shadow. If your intention is to learn more about your partner, then set the intention and then practice sitting and allowing the knowledge to come and then practice letting it wash over you and things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions?
No.
All
right.
Just mm-hmm. a comment, and I would just say maybe to explore the mantras. Those are, if you don't already, you know, have a practice including mantras, I just think they can be so, so powerful.
Yeah.
For a variety of things.
Yeah. What's your favorite mantra, Betty?
Oh, I can't think of it right now, but
mm-hmm.
It's the one related to love.
Okay. Do you remember if it's Tibetan or if it's Hindu?
I believe it's Tibetan.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there are some great, I love mantra. I love mantra. I love mantra and prayer are just great because I'm a talker. You know, my throat chakra is just on fire. And I think it's a very valuable, I think that's some very valuable advice. The internet is full of mantra, you know, that you can learn and learn about it. Also, audiobooks are a great way to learn mantra. You get some seasoned people who practice them regularly and have studied them, and they will, you know, in their audiobooks, they teach you how to chant, and I think it's wonderful. Great advice, Betty. Thank you. So,
all about trying to get my throat chakra charged.
Yeah, man, mantra will light it up for you. So let me just very quickly, before I let you ladies off the phone, let me just give you a quick recap of some things that will help you invite in the law of allowance. And the first thing I have indicated is commitment to the order of the universe. So aligning your will with divine will helps a lot with the law, or the principle, rather, of allowance. You feel fine when you feel like you're in alignment and you're doing something for a higher good. It helps to take away a lot of the guilt, and it helps to quiet the ego. So that will help you with the law of allowance when you trust. And that's the next thing on my list. To help you bring in the law of allowance, you want to trust in the universe, you want to trust in other people, and you want to trust in yourself. And this trust implies a meaningful awareness of your connection to all things and an inherent trust in your place in the universe. And the singleness of mind, this is the knowing that comes along with trust, also helps you to commit to the principle of allowance. And these things will help you breed confidence in yourself. The more you learn to trust the law of allowance, the more you can trust the law of allowance. The more you allow, you know, and you see how it works when you see it in action, the more you start to understand it and the more you can surrender to it. So I encourage you to start. You can start small, and you can build, or you can start big and just watch it all just fall into place for you. But chances are you're going to have a really fun ride while you're letting this happen. So you want to also make sure you have a strong internal compass. So that means being focused inward. That helps you understand how the exterior really looks. So don't look at the outside and try to figure out how to fix the outside from the outside. Look inside, because everything that you see in your exterior world is a reflection of what's going on in your interior world. So if you don't have any money in your bank account, don't look at the bank, don't look at the job. Look at what's going on inside of you first, and then let that inform your decisions about how to proceed with the bank or with the job, right? So always use your internal compass first, and then go into the exterior, if you feel you need to. I think, though, that you'll find that you probably can spend a lot more time on the internal world, and then you can just sit back and enjoy the external world, because you'll be controlling everything from your center, from your core. You want to also, with the law of allowance, check in with your intention. That's aligning your will and setting your vision in action. So putting things out, putting your will and your vision into action is your intention. That's going to help you really enjoy positive use of the principle of allowance. Any questions so far, ladies?
No. Good.
Okay, cool. All right, and then, of course, the idea of surrender, let go, let God. There's no investment in how your dreams manifest. You set your intention, you align your will, you set your intention, and then you let it go, you let God. And you allow things to come, and you discern, you don't judge. You do discern, though, and alter, and you feel, and you move with, and you watch things take shape around you. Also, that's detachment from the outcome, and that kind of beautiful dance that you end up doing with the universe and your environment takes flexibility. So if you're able to be flexible, then you will also really enjoy watching the law, the principle of allowance around you. All right, so then the last thing I want to do is just give you a recap of what the barriers to the law, or rather the principle of allowance, is. The inability to be in the present moment is not going to help you bring in and to utilize the principle of allowance. That, in fact, will make you just all in your head, and you won't even be able to recognize that the principle is in effect around you. If you doubt, so if you are not able to trust the process and you're not able to trust the outcome, then you're putting up barriers to the principle of allowance. So, you know, as you meditate, whatever you need to do, whether you need to journal or even if you need to get, you know, professional help, you know, coaching, if you're in a state of doubt, then you're not going to really be able to successfully feel comfortable using the principle of allowance. If you're impatient, you know, that's the stubbornness that refuses to be in peace until a certain outcome is achieved, that impatience is not going to let you enjoy the principle of allowance. Too much projection of your beliefs, your values, and your ideals onto the universe or onto your environment, the law of allowance can't really work with you to bring you what your heart desires if you're busy projecting things onto it, onto the environment. Closing your mind to possibilities is basically the same thing. You know, when you're projecting, you're basically saying, this works, this doesn't work, I'll have it only this way, I'm not even going to consider that way. Well, look, it's $1 million. Yeah, but I don't see that. I'm too focused over here because I got tunnel vision, right? It's not going to serve you with achieving your heart's desire if you're blocking out 99% of the opportunity that is there for you. And lastly, this need to control everything, you know, that we have is highly detrimental to experiencing the joys of the principle of allowance. If you have to control everything, again, you're putting limits on it and you're driving it, and it's not allowing. It's probably the antithesis of allowing. And that's it. Those are my notes. And that's my presentation on the divine feminine embodying the principle of allowance. And I just want to ask y'all if you have any questions or anything you want to share before we start really signing off.
It's just so hard to not do all of those things. You know, it's hard, like, in the moment to check yourself and actually get yourself to stop. It's like, you know, you just start with pausing and observing, and, you know, as long as you can create a gap between actually doing something from what you feel, you're able to be conscious.
Totally.
But I also think that once you do into that, how freeing it is.
Hello.
You're like, what the hell was I doing?
Yeah. I'm going to be really honest with you. I've only left my apartment, I think probably. I've been out of my apartment for a maximum of 12 hours over the last 2.5 months.
Wow.
I basically am inside all the time. And it's amazing how when you really resonate, when you really walk the talk, right? You really have these principles and you use them. I have had so much love come to my door. I've had so much opportunity just show up for me. I've had so much beauty come into my life, and I've not even left my place. And, you know, you go to a dating coach, and she's going to say, well, you got to get out of the house, or you got to go online to find somebody. No, you don't. All you have to do is vibrate, and the universe will send you. I could tell you stories, but I'm a little bit too shy to share it right now, so I'm not going to share anything. But it's just funny how really all you have to do is sit, and you vibrate, and you hold the frequency of your true inner radiance, right? You peel away all the ego stuff. You peel away your upbringing. You peel away all your drama, your past hurts. And then you're just left with this light. And that light is highly attractive. And, again, that's not the right word because it's not the law of attraction. It's really the law of opening up your damn eyes and looking at what's really in front of you, right? So we want to make sure that, you know, we're kind of really open to this idea that everything we desire is right here for us. And we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything but hold the space and work from our created self. And that's that.
What is that? There's this weird sound. Did you hear that?
Oh, I think that's probably Betty's call. Betty, are you there? Yeah, I think there might be something going on with Betty's phone. So are there any other questions or any comments?
No.
Yeah, this was a really fun talk for me. It's such powerful stuff. So I'm really grateful to have had you on the line. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm so glad that you could play with me. I'm going to post my notes on the website, and I'm going to post the recording so you can listen to it again if you want to, if there's anything that was compelling for you. But it'll all go on a blog post, and I'll get that done tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
All right, terrific. So I thank you for joining me, Christina. It was wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for all your beautiful insight.
Thank you.
And Betty, I think that you're not there. I can't tell if you're there or not. But it was wonderful talking to you too, my friend. So our next call will be in probably 2 weeks. I think once a week is a little bit too much for me, but I think every two weeks will be, or every other week will probably be really good. Okay, but I'll keep you posted on Facebook and on the event calendar on my studio website, okay?
Okay.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.